Come on, bitch, let's go. Come on, get ready, bitches.
Hello, Dana.
Am I to understand that this week is your birthday?
It is. It is. This episode will come out a few weeks after my birthday, maybe 2 weeks after, but yes.
Oh my goodness. And do you want to say like an approximate age that you're turning?
18. Legal. Finally legal.
Get on Grindr, babe.
Yeah. I can finally get on Grindr.
What are you going to do for your birthday?
I'm doing a drag tutorial, makeup drag over Zoom. Because
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. I swear to God. I bought a pink wig that I'm going to text you a picture of because it is.
Are you serious? So for your birthday, you're doing a drag tutorial with a friend of yours who is a drag queen.
Yes, Lyle.
And Lyle's stage
Shout
name
out
is
to Lyle. Lyle, just Lyle.
Are you kidding me? That's like me going, I'm going to be a stripper and my name's Edith. That's my granny term, by the way, for all you guys who haven't heard the previous episodes.
Yes, yes, yes.
I know what to call him. How about Miss Confetti Sprinkles? Come on, that's awesome.
It's a little clunky for me, but.
No, everything I do is clunky. Miss Confetti Sprinkles to the stage, please. I'm fabulous. Woo! Oh my God. And for my next song is Madonna. Woo!
Yeah. It feels like Madonna's been canceled these days.
No, she's like secretly, I've been watching her Instagram. She's like in Africa. She's like adopted more children. She is studying witchcraft. Like she's off the grid. I mean, I'm like, this woman is so amazing. Like I just can't get over her. She's just all over the shop. No wonder she's
over the place.
Yeah. No. And the other day she's like lying on her couch and she was like, you know, she was like on something. I don't remember. She was just having fun. I mean, I was just like, this woman is amazing. She's like 70. Isn't she like 70?
Oh yeah. Oh,
she's like my, I mean, she'll always be my idol. She really will be. I love her so much. That's like my dream.
Her daughter went to my college like a few years after, and apparently she was a wild one.
Who isn't a wild one in college?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, drugs, sex, like, come on, bring it. Yeah, I was like, let's go do peyote. I wanted to find my spirit animal in college. I mean, I was into it, man. I did shit. I did that tea. You know that tea in LA?
I went to her.
Yeah, I went to the, in LA, they have this retreat you can go to if you're like, you know, really looking for a good time. And you go out into the middle of the desert with this group of South rainforest people. And they chant. And you take the tea, this tea. I forget which one it is, but it's kind of like peyote, basically.
Yeah.
And you... you take it and you hallucinate and you kind of, you puke and then you hallucinate and you like find your previous lives.
Who were your previous lives?
Okay, it's so funny. So I get in there and I'm like, where the hell am I? Okay. Everyone's like, and there's like a fire. And I start drinking this tea and I'm thinking it's not going to be a big deal. It's like, you know, a small teacup. We're sharing it. It's like, you know, a sip here, a sip there. Anyway, the next thing I know, I'm tripping my balls off. Okay. And I just look at everybody and I'm like, what the fuck is happening? So I run outside and I like look at like I was like in the desert where this thing was. And I look out in, you know, in the nature. Just like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. And then next thing I know, I'm like, puke. Yeah. And then I come out of that and I just lie on the ground and I'm like, oh, I'm an old man and I'm sitting on like a country farm and I'm rocking in my rocking chair and I had white hair and a beard and I was like rocking. Yeah.
Howdy folks, it's me, the real Colonel Sanders.
And then I was like I went to another thing and I was like a really wealthy person. And I kept saying that I was like Marie Antoinette. I'm sure everyone has the same trip. They're all Marie Antoinette. Like, you know, I was like, give me more cake. I mean, it was like,
let them eat cake.
That's such nonsense. I would never say that.
It was, and I of course didn't have anyone taking me on the journey. Like if you know, a lot of celebrities do this type of thing, but they have like
have a
professional.
Leader. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some kind of shaman.
Yeah, taking you through the journey. I was just like running nuts in my past lives. Like, you know, yeah, no, it was really dangerous. Like, I was,
wow, incredible. Yeah.
Come on, bitch, let's go.
Have you heard the show Bling Empire, Casey?
I have. I actually quite enjoyed it.
You know I sort of have a few people that I really want to focus on talking about today, but who's your favorite cast member on Bling Empire?
Wow. Well, Kevin, just because he's so cute.
Right. Okay. The poor, you know, Kevin guy, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously I am. Like, obviously.
I knew you were going to say that. It's so obvious.
I know. It's almost a dumb answer, but it's true.
So Bling Empire came out after House of Ho. Have you heard of House of Ho?
No.
Okay, so Netflix.
We're getting some dings.
That's right, House of Ho. So I got turned on to House of Ho from Sammy. You know Sammy.
Yeah, Princess Sammy.
Yeah, and Sammy said like, oh my God, you're going to love House of Ho. So I started watching House of Ho, which was supposed to be like, you know, the movie, Crazy Rich Asians.
Crazy Rich Asians.
Right. So after, I guess what happened was Netflix decided after the success of Crazy Rich Asians in the movie theaters that they were like, oh yeah, we're going after every possible Asian themed, wealthy.
Yes.
Yeah. Franchise. So first they launched House of Ho, which Princess Sammy told me about. And I was like super excited. And I watched a few episodes and I kind of fell off on that. And then then Sammy ruined it for me because she told me that everybody was secretly was actually poor on the show. Like they had lost all their money. So dad was the only one who still had the money and all the kids like didn't anymore. So I was like, okay, well, Jesus. That show's over. Yeah. And then a few weeks later, Bling Empire comes out. Now Bling Empire, they do 8 episodes. There's like approximately 10 cast members on Bling Empire. So it's like a pretty robust cast and they're all from different Asian descent, right? So like China, Korea, like all over. So that's really cool and interesting. And they're from LA and they all have real money. And these guys have real money.
Oh like, yeah.
Verifiable. Yeah. So it really does make for really good entertainment in the lifestyle porn department because, you know, no matter what is like, you know, kind of produced about it, it really is people who have this kind of fuck you money that's fun to watch, right?
Absolutely.
The storyline, because we don't do recaps, but I'm just going to give you a quick gist of it, is that Christine Chu and Dr. Gabe, who are like one of the stars couple of the show, they are trying to maybe have another baby. She had to have a baby through surrogacy. They have a baby called Baby G. Baby G and Christine, you know, are living this lavish lifestyle. Dr. Gabe is like this down to earth plastic surgeon who gives them everything.
Right.
Right. And then there's Kelly, Kelly Mi Lu and Andrew Gray. And Andrew is a Power Ranger. That's his claim to fame. And Kelly is she owns a merchandising company and is supposed to be like an investor, but she also had like a husband who went to jail for fraud. And then
What?
Yeah, you obviously don't pay attention there. I knew.
I definitely missed that. Wow.
Yeah, that's what happened to her. And then Anna Shea, is the daughter of an arms dealer. A huge arms dealer company gentleman was her dad, and she's like a billionaire. They sold the company, and she's ridiculous. I mean, she's off the charts rich, right?
Yeah.
And mysterious.
Very mysterious.
Very mysterious. And then the rest of the characters are, you know, they're just, well, Kane is a billionaire businessman. His dad is anyway. And he has a great sneaker collection.
Mm-hmm. And then Kevin's just a hot model that they must have picked up somewhere.
Yeah, Kevin Kreider is a hot model who apparently like is like a bit of a player who, yeah, he's just hot. He's poor, doesn't know how to dress. Cherie Chan, Jesse Lee, Jamie Z, and Guy Tang are the rest of the group. Now, one of them, I believe, Cherie Chan was like, is actually like a big deal, celebrity in Asia. Cherie looks like an anime, like a living human anime.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
Right. Okay. And she's married to a like a rich guy too.
She proposes to him.
Yeah. She goes out and she's like all about women empowerment and she proposes. Yes. And, you know, if you haven't seen it by now, then shame on you and you deserve that spoiler alert too. Okay. Yeah. So, so that's the show. I wanted to talk about it on today's Dishing Drama with Dana podcast because Christine Chu, one of the main characters of the show, was a friend of mine from a long time ago. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah. So Christine and I served on the board of the young professional component, like they have a young professional board for the Mocha. And Christine and I were on that young professional board together and we got to know each other. This was before I was on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, before she was on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Wait, she was on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
Yeah, which is another reason why I'm talking about Bling Empire, because there's a tie-in to the show. So what happened was Christine and I met on this board. Now, what's really funny is Christine truly is like, do you see how she is at the parties?
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, like, oh, that's my place setting. And like, you can just tell she's like annoyed, but she won't say anything, you know, or like she's snobby in a way, but she won't like, she's totally like that in real life. That's real. But it's like endearing in a weird way. I don't know. I used to laugh. I used to not believe it was real. I actually was like Anna Shea. I was like, this can't be this real person. Like this is made up. This woman is made up.
Yeah.
But she actually really is that. And like, you know, 12 million years later, she's the same person. So I'm like, okay, it's not made up. That's really who she is. Anyway, and Dr. Gabe, I didn't really see him at a lot of events with Christine, but you know, she did come to, I had this big dinner party for a street artist that I was supporting at that time. I was like their benefactor or whatever. And I had this big dinner party. And so she came to it and we had some fun at that party. And she had just got with Gabe, like, I think maybe, you know, a few years before. And, we had fun, you know, she's definitely a fun girl. You know, Christine, I haven't talked to in many years because, I just left Beverly Hills and we weren't in the same social circles anymore, but she's a sweetie because she reached out to me on Instagram and, she texts me on January 17th and she says, "Hi stranger, I stumbled on your page and I'm loving it. You are a natural. This was what your calling was." And then I left her like a voicemail, like, "Thanks. How are you? You know, how are you doing?" Now, what was really funny of this is behind the scenes, Sammy's like, "Have you seen the new show Bling Empire?" And I'm like, "Sammy, I can't like do another show." Like, you know? And she's like, "No, Christine Chu's on it. You know, Christine was on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills." And I'm like, "No, I don't." I said, "I don't know who she is." And she's like, I said, wait, I think she owns Crustacean in Beverly Hills. I do know her. And then I looked it up and I'm like, oh, not her. Okay. So then I'm like, no, I don't know Christine Chu at all. Okay. So Sammy's like, Dana, you know, you've got to like find out about Christine Chu. Like she's telling me. So I'm like, I have no recollection of Christine Chu. Okay. Yeah. This is what happens. So then literally, I mean, literally, because, you know, Sammy's so on her shit that she like watched all 8 episodes of Bling Empire on like the first week it came out. So she's like, I go reach back to Sammy and I'm like, okay, I made a mistake. I know her well.
I not only know her, but I know her well.
And it was so funny that she like, Sammy's like, I don't believe you, because she was like, I was so not knowing who she was. She was like, I don't believe you. This is why I know I have dementia. Anyway, so she says to me, prove it. And I'm like, okay. So anyway, Christine had sent me a picture of us from a long time ago. And I sent it to Sammy. So Sammy was like, oh my fuck, how could you not know your friend? I'm like, I don't know. Sorry. Yeah. Anyway, so Christine, so she writes that, and then I respond back. And then she says, oh, your voice is so iconic now. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what that means, but okay, cool. And then she says, let me see if I can dig up a fun picture of us at your old house. Call me after you've watched the entire season and let me know what you think. It's my first time producing too. And I said, now she's credited as a producer. So, you know, we're going to get into that in a minute, but
what?
Oh my God. Your laugh is everything. Cause I was laughing on the, I think I just laughed. Like I did a voicemail and I just laughed. Yeah. And then she said, brought instant smile to my face, but you must know that I played it for entertainment value with the cat and mouse saying, ha ha ha. It was fun to play a little since I'm a mom now, otherwise in sweats and Uggs most days. Okay. Now, if you watch her Instagram, you're like, huh?
Like what?
So then she says, we have to catch up. And I say some other crap in between all this. Where does your son go to school? And I say, like, public in Miami Beach. She's like, oh my God, I don't want to be your friend anymore. No, she says, oh my God, Jelly, I want to be in Miami so bad. And then I go on and I tell her like about the show, and I kind of say to her, like, I don't think that they totally gave you a fair edit in the sense that it's like, you're very one-sided in it. You know, people criticize me a lot for the glasses and the one-liner, you know, brand dropping bullshit that I did, but then it became iconic. So I'm like, you just kind of need to weather the storm, you know? So then I said, listen, I know you're super busy. Do you want to leave like a voicemail for the fans? Because, you know, you and I, you know, hung out and, you know, we know each other, and it would mean a lot to the fans to probably hear from you, especially since you were also on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So anyway, I said to her, send me a voicemail that, you know, you want, you know, something you want to get across. And I gave her some suggestions of things that I thought like you guys would want to hear, you know, basically. One thing that comes across in the voice memo, which is really true to her, who she is she's very formal. And I don't want the fans who listen to it to think she's like being very reserved. It is who she is. She is very, she's proper, you know? So I am like a bad influence if I'm around Christine, for sure. Although it's been a few years. But anyway, so I hope you guys enjoy.
Hey, Dana. I'm happy you asked if I would call in and say hi to your podcast listeners. It was great to reconnect with you after not being in touch for so long since our time on the Mocha Contemporaries board together. I'm so happy for all of your success with Dishing Drama Dana Wilkie Uncensored. I hope everyone is enjoying Bling Empire and that it's giving everyone the escape we all need right now. We had so much fun making this show and are really humbled and blown away by all the positive feedback. Okay, Dana, so now the questions you are asking me to answer for your Cliff's Notes segment. You asked me to tell you one secret about Bling Empire from season 1, so here it is. Baby G is almost turning 3, and we actually filmed me giving birth to him at Cedar Sinai. So that gives you a little perspective on how long this project has been. You asked me to give you one thing that I would like Dishing Dana listeners to know about me that's not widely known, and that is that I'm most passionate about being a mom. Fashion is great, but being a mom is the best. Baby G is my inspiration and teaches me about myself and of love and life and joy every day. People always ask me if I wear couture every day, and the answer is absolutely not. 90% of the time, I'm in mom mode, and I'm in sweats and Uggs. But the other 10% of the time, you know I love fashion, and I just have to bring it. You asked me to tell you how I feel about Anna saying that she hadn't seen me since filming, and I wanted to remind Anna that we have seen each other a few times, actually, since we wrapped, and she even generously bought me dinner. I'm thinking maybe she's been very busy and forgotten the times. It has been a while. You asked me to tell you why I did the show, and that answer is twofold. First off, I thought it would be a lot of fun to share some of the over-the-top parties and trips and experiences that are a part of my life. But on a more serious note, I thought it was important to bring representation of Asian Americans to television. We are generally an underrepresented group, and I love the idea of sharing aspects of our culture with the mainstream. Well, I hope I get to see you soon somewhere fantastic, and Baby G says hi. Take care, everyone, and stay safe.
Anyway, I mean, you know, Christine too for president, what can I say? She is very good at being politically correct in that message, but God bless her for sending it. I really am so happy, and I just need to get to LA now and remind her about her wild side, right? Because she's obviously being a mom and wife for so long, she's forgotten her wild side. So we're going to retap that when I see her at something fabulous.
I know the next thing everybody's going to want to talk about when it comes to Christine is the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, because there's been a lot of speculation about Christine on the show. So you didn't even know she was on the show, huh?
Not a clue.
Okay. So what happened was...
When was she on? What season?
Christine had gone on the show in 2014, so like season four or five, and she shot with Brandi Glanville. So there was like a lot of rumors that Christine was going to go on the show, right?
Right.
And she was going to be the next housewife or whatever. And anyway, it didn't manifest into any, you know, anything. And a lot of fans have said that they didn't hire her because, you know, they just didn't. And other fans were like, no, they did hire her and she turned it down. So Brandi says in an article that she's quoted, on Housewives, they ask you to give the names of friends you think would make great housewives. So I gave her name, Christine too. And they loved her, Brandi recalled on the January 22nd episode of her show. According to Brandi, she and Christine filmed a lunch date in LA and quickly got the attention of paparazzi. Unfortunately, it was those very photos that led Christine's family to shoot down the idea of a role on the show. Brandi said, quote, her family has seen the pictures of us leaving the place, and they decided because their family's loaded that they didn't want her on Housewives for like the embarrassment of the family. Possibly they wanted her and her family. They wanted her and her family said no, Brandi revealed. Brandi went on to say that she loves Christine because she's a little bit nuts and so fun. And she noted that if she can do Bling Empire, she should also be able to appear on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
She's got so much money than probably all of them. It's insane. Brandi added. I reached out to Christine and I was like, I cannot believe you shot with Brandi Glanville. Like, what the hell was that all about? You know, because I'm like trying to imagine Brandi and Christine friends. Like, I am not seeing that connection,
not
right?
Not seeing that at all.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, Christine's like, look, she's always been nice to me, but our manager is the same manager and he set it up. There was no real friendship there. Yeah. Yeah. So the agent set them up and Christine went on the show, and I think Brandy's trying to get on Bling Empire. So I believe, I believe she released this statement to be helpful to Christine, 'cause she thought maybe she might get a cameo opportunity on Bling Empire on the season two. Yeah, I really do.
Really?
100%. Yep. And I don't know if Christine did or did not, you know, get an offering from Bravo. It is true. They do ask us, you know, do you know anybody that might be good housewives? Yeah. So that isn't wrong. But I don't believe that I don't know whether Christine actually turned down the show or not. I just can't imagine why she would, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just don't, you know, why would you do that and then go on Bling Empire? It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
So Christine Chu is a producer on the show, which is really interesting to me because I'm starting to think, after I learned a lot of intel from Behind the Velvet Rope with David Yontef, that Christine may have paid to have some of this, you know, the pilots done on this show.
Okay.
Because it's the only reason she would have a producer credit. Like, I don't get why you would have a producer credit as a cast member unless...
Yeah, doesn't make sense.
Right, unless she might have, you know, because she has so much money. So do you know anything about, like, some of what came out in the interview that David did with Andrew Gray? It was pretty, like, outrageous what happened in that interview.
He was all over the internet.
Andrew was.
Yeah, after that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what shocked you about what Andrew said? So I know.
For one, the no one was real friends sitting around meeting people for the first time because they were cast on the show.
Right. And they did 8 rounds of casting discussions before they actually. Yeah. And did you think that it was strange that Kelly, his girlfriend, is the executive producer of the show?
Wait, she's the executive producer?
Yeah, and Kelly is the executive producer with Jeff Jenkins.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Jeff Jenkins is, you know, the Simple Life producer and, you know, Kardashian
big producer,
and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, huge.
But
right.
She's an executive producer.
Yes.
And Christine is a producer. What the fuck is going on over there?
Right. So Kelly and it turns out that Kelly Lou and Andrew Gray, who are together on and off, but together, it turns out that they knew Christine and Dr. Gabe before the show started. And that was pretty much who they knew before the show started. Okay, to cut through the crap. And what happened was Kelly had hired a showrunner and the showrunner sucked. So out of desperation, Andrew reached out to Jeff Jenkins, Andrew being Power Ranger guy, and asked him if he was still looking for, like, a royal, you know, Asian type show, like, you know, with, like, really powerful Asian people. Right. Okay. So Jeff was like, yes, I am. Oh my God, Andrew. Yes. And so he essentially got interested in the show only because Andrew Gray pitched it to him.
Wow.
And then that got Kelly her opportunity to do the show. Now, Kelly was the creator of the show, which is why she got the executive producer credit. But Andrew, I felt like a little bit in the interview with David, was like a little bit resentful that he didn't get a producer credit because he was the one that got Jeff involved with the show.
Hmm.
So what we've really got is a Keeping Up with the Kardashian formatted show, which means everybody on the show is, like, kind of,
involved.
You know, they're involved and they're in the storyline and they know what's happening. And Andrew was like, you know, I represent a lot of clients that produce stuff. So I feel like Andrew's actually less of an actor and more of a producer from the way that he made the interview.
Well, yeah, and the way he talked, I mean, even on the show, it's like, oh, he manages musicians. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, no, none of that made sense at all, absolutely. But the real thing that really struck me in the interview was that he was, like, knew the storyline the whole time, and he said, like, he had a real car that was nice, but they made him drive, like, a shitty car. And they whispered in his ear, tell Kelly you love her now.
What?
Yeah. But they did, thank God, Jeff, the producer, Jeff Jenkins, stepped up to the plate and old school reality style must have felt like Andrew was getting a little too comfortable in his skin. So he decided to mind fuck Andrew. And what he did was he set up this thing with Anna Shea, like to go to Paris. And now Anna didn't know, she didn't know Kelly really or Andrew until like a few weeks before Paris. And essentially she goes and she takes them to Paris, and Jeff must have said, Anna, you know, we're going to pull Kelly out of the hotel room. We're going to make this like Andrew think this whole thing he's in on, but then we're going to pull Kelly out of the hotel room in Paris, and we're going to make him think we left him behind and we're not shooting with him. Yeah. So me being on reality TV, I know how this works. So what they did was Jeff apparently must have set this thing up like, hey, we're going to Paris for this reason, but then it wasn't the real reason.
Yeah, I wonder what they said to him.
Well, he said it. He said that they said, hey, we're so excited. We want to surprise Kelly for her birthday. We want you to take her. Anna's going to fly her on her jet to Paris and arrange all these amazing things to happen for her. She's going to get to see Steve McQueen and go to Versailles in a private tour. And you guys are going to see things that you'd never have in your silly lives ever experienced because of Anna Shay. And he got wow. super excited because he's from a working class, abusive, alcoholic family. And he was like, this is a huge break for me to be able to experience these amazing things. And I'm so excited for my girlfriend to also experience these things for her birthday. So he gets there, but the big fuck you is on him because Jeff has already decided to pull Kelly's bag out of the room to play on his insecurities, which is he's not going to be covered on the show, or he's going to be left behind, or he's not going to get to experience some of this great shit he's never going to have again in his life.
Wow.
And he leaves him. So then he then, of course, calls frantically all the crew members. And I think in the interview does something like this. Jeff, other guy, Kelly, Anna. Okay, so he's panicked. They're all gone. He doesn't know what's happened. He has no call sheet to say where they are, what they're doing, where they're going. Yeah. So he gets on the phone with Kelly and they film it. And they were not supposed to be filming for the show. They were supposed to be filming for a teaser. And what do? They literally get him so amped up, so angry that they then shoot that part and they put that in the TV show.
Wow.
Right. So the mind fuck on this guy is he thinks he's missed out on everything and the shoot and they've left him behind. And he's now, he was the guy who pitched the show in the fucking first place. He's the guy that got the show going. He's now not included and he's not getting a producer credit. So of course he's going to get angry. And this is coming out in a way that he doesn't know is being filmed. And that's what we see. Right. So now his position on that is like, hey, you know what? If I can make Kelly famous, if I can make her the star, I'm willing to do it. And I was like, oh my God, I felt so bad for him. I actually was like, he's just, you know, he is not the villain, actually. Like, he is just this, you know, he's simple. And I think they're really taking advantage of the simple aspect of him.
But he's also weird. Like, they're not making up that fucking stare he has. He's super weird.
He's very Northern California. I mean, I don't know. Have you ever been?
I'm from there, born there.
Guess what? You look a little strange off in his face, too. Sometimes I'm thinking, is Casey going to kill me?
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Yes, the answer is yes. But that, to me, it's more he like his new age shit. Like, it feels like he thinks he knows the answer to everything.
He's definitely a typical Northern California. Listen, I go into San Francisco airport and there's a fucking yoga center. I mean, who the fuck is doing yoga in the airport? And you guys need to just pull it back a little bit, okay? Maybe therapy isn't the answer to everything, you know? So I just feel like the guy's a product of his environment, you know? He was raised in this, I think, very sort of, you know, airy fairy kind of environment. The kid is obviously, you know, not a college graduate. Let's just put it that way. And yeah. And I think that, you know, he's doing his best. You know, he slept in his car. He was an actor for years. He's on the hustle. I can't believe he's gotten as far as he has. Kudos to him.
Well, he's really hot.
Well, he's, you know, there's a lot of really hot people in LA, you know,
like me.
Okay, Ron Howard. So
okay, and the podcast is over. Goodbye.
You don't look like Ron Howard. I'm kidding. You
no,
don't.
No.
You look like Chucky.
Don't fuck with the Chuck.
No. I'm just kidding. You're okay. So handsome. Okay, that's why bitch. It's so stupid.
All right.
No, you're so handsome. That's why it's funny. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Also, just so we know, he is from Sacramento, California.
Right. That's Northern California.
Yeah, but that's like freaky. That's like where the fucking...
Well, you know who else is from
Golden
Sacramento?
Golden State Killer was for many years.
Brandy Glanville.
Ew.
Yeah. She's like, I don't want to get Sacramento on your ass.
Ew, I hate Sacramento. Like,
I'm just telling you, there.
Nothing
like,
about Sacramento is good to me now.
So if you're wondering about, like, you know, like the, what's happening in Sacramento, there's obviously some funny shit in that water. I don't know.
Yeah.
Call Tom Girardi.
Yeah.
All right. So now the other thing that was shocking about Andrew is that he said the set designers are insane on the show. Now, that made me laugh.
I mean, you can kind of tell with just the way they shoot some things, like just the way the camera moves. I'm like, you had these motherfuckers walking down this hallway like 6 times to get this right.
Exactly. And it's like a lot of things not adding up.
Yeah.
Like, for example, Kelly Mee Lu has a company called Grayscale, and Grayscale does Paris Hilton's, you know, merchandising. By the way, could you get in touch with them so they could do our shit?
That's hot.
Yeah, 25,000. Yeah. 25,000. Call Kelly. Want a coffee cup?
Hi, Kel.
So she owns a merchandising company called Grayscale that Paris Hilton gets her stuff from. So my question is, why didn't Kelly, as the executive producer, go to Paris or Jeff, her producer from Symbol Life, based on her relationship with Paris, and say, hey, I've got this show? Like, it's weird that he had to be the one that did it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very.
It is weird. And anyway, so Andrew's been sober, no drugs. He's been with Kelly for 7 years, but right now they're not living together, but they're still together. They hope to have kids, but she's not rushing it.
It makes sense to me that he's sober because he seems very scary sober. So I can only imagine him on drugs.
Casey, I had to do this emergency message to you. I just received 2 amazing lip glosses from Everything Marlo. I follow her on Instagram. That's her tag. Everything, like it sounds, Marlo, M-A-R-L-O. You should follow her. I follow her. She supports small businesses that have really cool little boutique-y products. She is always trying to help everyone that she knows. Her daughter is a makeup artist and is a stunner and is a sweetheart. Get to know on Instagram, Everything Marlo, follow her, see her products, but more importantly, get her lip glosses, okay? Because she has 2 that I'm so into. She's got the regular Power Up lip gloss that's hydrating, moisturizing, nourishing, anti-aging, long-lasting. I mean, I don't know what else I can say. Beautiful colors. And then she's got this lip polish that I'm obsessed with. There's one color that she sent me. You'll have to DM her and ask which one she sent me. But I'm telling you, it makes my lips look so amazing. Okay. On one side, it's like a strong, long-lasting gloss that stays. It sort of mattes. And then on the other side is a transparent, shiny, like, brush that I just gloss over it. It makes my lips look big. It makes them look shiny. It feels great. It's non-drying. I love it. So DM her about that. She always answers. Give her a DM and follow her. She's a sweetheart. She deserves it. Okay.
You know what? We need to like zap David Yontef in here to get like a quick, you know, thought process on this guy, Andrew.
You're so right. Let's give him a call.
May I help you, ma'am?
It's an emergency. It's an emergency. I need your help.
What's going on, Dana? This better be a good one.
I know. I dragged you off your fucking couch. I know.
Well, you know, running a 5-day week podcast is not easy.
I know. I hear your mental health ads. Okay.
Oh, those are good ones. Oh, and make sure you sign up so I get a little something from it.
I understand that you interviewed the psycho boyfriend from Bling Empire. Is that correct?
I did. Finally, oh. Someone maybe I can talk about.
Is he as spooky in his eyes as he is on the show?
I mean, he's another one that I loved. There was a little bit of, listen, there's always a little bit of a issue afterwards, of course. You know,
what do you mean issue afterwards?
Well, you know, you don't just come on my show. I mean, you get in the papers, like ask Dana Wilkie. I got her into Perez Hilton. Dana was very pleased with her media placement, but you know, not everyone is always pleased. And if the person themselves is pleased.
So what the f*** happened with the Bling Empire guy?
I mean, listen, I don't know if there's something in the eyes, but you know what it is? Because listen, you really do get to know people. That's what I love about my job. Which is why when I say I think Randall's a nice guy, I really do.
Okay, but, yeah, but whatever.
You're wrong. Okay.
You're spooked by the Power Ranger is what I'm
No, hearing. I wasn't spooked, to be honest. I wasn't spooked, but he is just very L.A. actor.
Ew.
Do you know what I'm saying? So I don't know if that's spooked. You know, you guys both, like, you live out west and Dana used to live out there. We all know how it works. You know, I'm in New York now, but I don't think he's violent. I mean, the whole second half is about him taking accountability. And he's just like, everyone hates me. He compared himself, and here's a soundbite for you. He compared himself to Scott Disick. He's like, I understand I'm the Scott Disick of the show. And I'm like,
But here's the thing. That's a very accurate. Scott Disick is funny. This guy is scary. He looks
Scott Disick, scary. Lord Disick is one of, I'll go out and say this, Lord Disick is one of the funniest people ever.
Absolutely.
Obsessed. Best part of the whole show. Chloe Money, very close second. Chloe Money.
So I have a question. I guess
so. He wasn't scary, but he is like, you ask a question and you're like, he's like, the earth is telling me. So I'm from New York. I am like you in that sense, Dana. That's why we get along. I'm like, you know, I don't say this. I mean, of course, I'm like, keep talking. This will all be on air. You know what I mean? But there is an answer that he gets to, and it does answer your question. But we go on a journey before we get to the answer.
So So basically, Casey, the answer to your question from David about whether he's got spooky eyes is he doesn't have spooky eyes.
No, he's got spookiness behind the eyes.
Yeah, he's got vacuous eyes, meaning he goes on this bullshit actor journey to take you somewhere that, like, you know, it takes an hour to get there. But at the end, you get somewhere and it wasn't probably worth the journey, much like, I don't know, like what's that like? That's like... help me. I wanted to say The Hobbit, but it's such a great book. I'm like, no, that wasn't at all what I'm looking for.
No, I actually really enjoyed him. And he said, you know, like he's like,
oh, like Moby Dick.
What does he think Dick's of Christine Chu? Moby Dick, exactly. It's like Moby fucking Dick.
Well, he claimed on the podcast, and this is where certain people may not be thrilled with this, he claimed on, and it is on the podcast, so you can all listen. You know, he claimed things like, we really didn't know this one. And when you start talking like that, I go from paying attention to like, OMG, let me alert a few people. I don't think he likes Anna Shea.
Okay, so he doesn't like, well, he doesn't like Anna Shea because Anna Shea thinks he's a piece of shit, but does he like, but he, you got no intel on how he feels about Christine because she's my friend. So I want
to know. No, we didn't really get there. He was just like, hate me the same way you hated Scott and Kelly's going to shine, baby. It was all about like how Kelly is going to shine and we're going to fly.
Is he a narcissist?
Well, he said that when he first got to LA after he won a modeling competition in New York and they're like, with this face, you're going everywhere. When he first got to LA, he said he had a serious ego problem, which, okay, we could all
Are
see that.
Are you shitting me? What was his press?
Well,
what did they focus on? Just go.
They focused on the anger. And I do believe they focused on the, you know, we didn't know each other and we sat around a table and cast. And that's when you're like, okay. And, you know, I don't think he cared about that, but I'm not so sure how others felt about that.
Felt don't, about being casted on the show?
No, I think when you get into a company like Netflix, if you're reading between the lines, may not enjoy that type of headline.
Right.
No, they don't care. Netflix will.
Well, like,
season two, we don't even know when we're going to get to season two. I was just saying to Casey, like, I'm worried about Christine because Christine's amazing.
Let me talk
she deserves to
you about
to have a she deserves to have a cyclic show that happens often, you know, perfect. And I'm worried that, like, they're going to wait too long between episodes and all that hard work that she did is going to be lost. I don't want that for her because she deserves a fucking show.
Well, A, you never produced her to come on my podcast. B.
I won't because she's my friend.
Okay. No, but we could have like a nice time. It doesn't have to be salacious. The problem with Netflix is these shows like Million Dollar Beach House. Now, I'm not comparing Blink Empire to that because Blink Empire will come back. But like Million Dollar Beach House like was hot. And then even Blink Empire, do you realize that the media said to me word for word, like, okay, thanks. Like, we're done. Like, no one's running Bling Empire right now. I'm just telling you how it works behind the scenes, Dana.
Like, well, it was supposed to be one of the most popular shows. What I'm saying is,
it was phenomenal.
This is not a Bling Empire problem. This is a Netflix problem. Netflix, you know, they put their money in that Vegas and they put it on like a million dots. And then they're like, oh shit, we got a hit. And instead of going doubling down and, you know, really like hurry the fuck up, let's shoot this in 2 months and get it out and really bank on it, they stick to the same like boring production format that brings it out like 2 years later. And by then everyone's forgotten.
This was shot 3 years ago, honey. Three.
I know, but that was
Why do you think there's no masks?
Oh no, that was my question. I just assumed they did it right before COVID, but no, 3 years is a really long time.
No, it's Netflix's problem. Netflix is basically I understand. Like, they don't know if it's going to be a hit. They invest in a lot of shit, right? But once it is a hit, Netflix guy, head of development, like, get your ass together. You know, hurry up, pay everybody off and get in production and shoot on an episode like in 12 weeks and bank on that investment. And they don't know how to do that.
It was just such an escape. Like, this is what Housewives was in the beginning. Now it's nothing close to this. And it just makes you realize how, like, Housewives is nothing compared to this show. It's so much better.
You know, I know what you're saying, but it isn't if they don't hurry the fuck up.
True.
I'm sorry, it isn't. And it's a different show. And you can't say it isn't a different show. It is a different show. This is a very Asian-focused show. If not, then I'd be like, Christine, it's Dana. I came back to visit, okay? But I'm not.
Listen, I get everything you're saying, and I hope it's going to be back soon. I mean, I think it's definitely going to be back, even though
it'll definitely be back.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it was phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Do you have anything to say about the Bling Empire guy before we go that we should know?
I liked him. And he's saying, let Kelly shine. Give me the hate. Literally, over and over, bring the hate on me. Hate me. DM me. Comment on my thing.
So he loves Kelly. He's taking one. Okay. So he's taking one for the team. He's basically saying, I'm, you know, hate me, love Kelly, which means secretly if the Bravo fans get involved with Bling Empire, they're going to hate Kelly now, but we'll leave that alone. But okay, so the javel goes down. Kelly's out. We're not sure about Kelly. We like him. And, you know, we have nothing. He gave us no tea whatsoever. You know what that sound means. Ooh, it's time for Beef of the Week. The Beef of the Week is Bling Empire only got a 5.7 rating out of 10 stars on IMDb with only 8 episodes, 45 minutes long. I'm sorry, that wasn't the real Beef of the Week. The real Beef of the Week is this. It is Anna.
You got me.
Anna Shay. And it's Anna Shay with Christine. Of course, Christine. Chu. And what are they beefing about? Well, Anna doesn't like that Christine Chu is a brand dropping, social climbing bitch. And, you know, Anna to Christine is a very powerful woman who's a little bit strange. You know, she's not bringing anything, you know, she's not sharing anything. She's just very quiet, right? My feeling, and I don't know about your feeling about the beef on that, was that, you know, I don't think Anna should judge Christine. You know, I just feel like she is super generous with her money and she's great to give all these presents to Kevin, who I know you think is hot.
Uh-huh.
And she's a great mom, you know, to her son, who by the way has the biggest pot memorabilia bong collection. It's like insured for like $500,000.
Yeah. Wait, who does?
And his son. She helped him buy the biggest pot paraphernalia collection like you can get. It's worth like $500,000, blown glass, and it's like art. Yeah. I heard of Anna back when I lived in Beverly Hills. And, you know, we used to drive by her house. It's in a very predominant area of Beverly Hills. And you can't help but wonder who the fuck lives there, because it's like the White House. Yeah. So you drive by and you're like, oh my God. And I heard rumors about like an arms dealer. It was like so sexy because I was like, oh, an arms dealer lives there. Yeah, I'm fucking A. You know, little devil ears come out. Like, yeah, that's a good party, you know. But like I heard she was really secretive and hard to know. And you know, it translated on the show. In fact, one of the first things I voiced Christine is, how the fuck did you get Anna on the show? Because I can't believe she's on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like in shock. Yeah. I don't know. It's strange. I mean, Anna's attitude to everything is sort of like, I'm Anna and I just don't know how to be anything other than I am. I am perfect.
Being me is me. So that I can't tell. I didn't feel that certain people were really real. You see someone like Christine, it is very, very hard for me to take her seriously.
Can you imagine being on a show with her? I'd be like, okay, so bitch, you've got it all. Like, what am I gonna do? Either I'm your bitch, or, you know, I'm your, you know, like either you're Christine and you try to stand, or you're like, I have to be your fucking bitch, because there's, you know, anything she does, she's going to just, oh, you don't get your clothes dropped off at your house. Oh, you mean Gucci doesn't shut the store down for you? Oh, Versailles didn't make your castle, you know, give you the secret door. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a loser.
And like her washing dishes at one point, I was like, you spare me.
No,
bitch,
she's like, I break the walls down. I break the walls down. No, she breaks the fucking walls down, not because she's rich. She breaks the walls down because she's cheap, because all rich fucking people are cheap. Yeah. And I don't know how many parties she's ever done, but like, it sounds like she's not that social.
No, it's like, why have a party if you hate people?
No, but she's so antisocial. Like, I don't buy that. Now I'm thinking Jeff called her and he's like, listen, Anna, we're trying to get something out of you. And, you know, you don't even talk. So we're thinking maybe have a party. But there's cool and there's just like Faye Dunaway. Google
Wait, what are your thoughts on Faye?
Oh, I met her. She's nuts and she's not normal. Yeah. She is her? Like, yeah, my ex, the psycho one, sociopath, he was going to like fund her movie that no one would fund. Yeah. Wow. And I met her and she's just, she's horrific. She's
we
nuts.
We have to do an app that is about you. I need to hear all of the stories.
No one needs to know anything about me because it's just too fucking juicy. Your ears will explode. You just have to get it slowly but surely over time.
Over time.
Jeff Jenkins. So this is my message to Jeff Jenkins. And I don't think that Christine or Anna or anyone's going to want to hear this, but I'm going to say it because I say the truth always. So Elizabeth Ann owns Crustacean in Beverly Hills and her family is the most amazing family that's from Asian descent in all of Beverly Hills. And they've been around for like, 10 years at least, maybe longer. Mm-hmm. And they really sit on the throne in Beverly Hills. And so the fact that Jeff hasn't recruited Elizabeth or any of her family members for the show shows me that, you know, they need to put them
to the flame. No, but one thing I do want to say about Kane really quickly was I thought it was such a fucking weird move for them to on the final episode be like, oh, he's going to ask out a guy. Like the whole time, everyone's like, what the fuck is this guy's deal? He seems super gay.
Wait, I missed that. So I missed the Kane's asking a guy out.
Yeah, the guy Anna lives with or her French.
Oh, right. On the last, like the wedding episode.
Yeah, and it's like so weirdly placed and so weirdly like, oh, let's throw this in because obviously we have to address the fact that everything is about like relationships and this Kane guy is like clearly gay and no one is saying anything. Including him.
So why do you think he's not saying anything?
I'm assuming it's family. And then once he was on the show for a bit, he was like, whatever.
Now we've got the difference between LGBT and heterosexual.
That is not the right letters to that.
It is the right letters.
Say that again.
LGBTQ.
You said it
lesbian.
Right this time.
No, I said it right. I say it right every time.
No, you don't.
No, I do.
I can give you an edit of you saying it wrong.
Come on. Prove it.